What's up, guys? I hope you guys are having a fantastic week. Welcome back to the huddle. And today, if you don't know who I am by this point, wow, you must be new here. And if that's the case, my name is Kalita. But I'm not here alone. As you heard the giggles on the other side of the screen, we have...
My name is Given Illustrative. I am basically the co-host, the guy who does all the technical stuff. So if you see me moving around a bit, don't, you know, just calm. Keep calm.
Relax.
Yeah.
Everything is in order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so today our topic is all in vain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be speaking about vanity, its mm-hmm. prevalence in our society, and if there's anything that we should be doing about this as the Christian community.
Yeah, I need context. Vanity in terms of what? Yeah.
Vanity. Okay, so I think... this is my observation. I think that we have become, there's this movement mm-hmm. online about self-love, okay? And I think it's kind of like giving a prescription.
That is just a topic on its own.
It really is.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah.
I feel like the self-love agenda or mm-hmm. self-love pushing message is giving like... a prescription medication to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think what it has done is it was created to help those people who have low self-esteem.
Mm.
But because there's no context when they're talking about self-love,
mm.
it has become this place where people who have a normal self-esteem or even people who are very proud have adopted the message and has made them vain.
Mm.
I think our culture has created a lot of vain people.
Yeah.
People who love their looks, love looking at themselves, love their appearances. Maybe, in fact, let's just read the definition just so that there's a basis. But according to the dictionary, vanity is excessive pride in admiration of one's own appearance or achievement.
Mm-hmm.
The second meaning is also the quality of being worthless or futile.
Mm.
So when I say all in vain, I'm really kind trying to bring the point that our excessive pride in our appearance and our achievements is
carries
quite
no
futile.
Weight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get you. I get you. So I am like taken by what you're saying about the move of self-love.
Mm.
And where, especially getting into where does it actually come from, right? But I suppose it's something that I'll off ramp into a bit later because it is not only something that's inspired by wanting to encourage those who have a low self-esteem, but I think it comes as a reaction against what our cultures had become. So for example, there are many cultural contexts and homes where, let me actually just an example that everyone can relate to, well, most particularly Africans can relate to, black tax, right? And the thing about it is it gets to a point where people feel that they deserve you to send them black tax.
Yes.
And it's not just black tax, but there's emotional taxing, emotional taxation that even more people can relate to, where back home and it becomes to, and then it also happens among spouses as well, where we create these things that were meant. So for example, back in the day, lobola used to be something that we did as a community.
Yes.
If you get, it wasn't something that was expected of the man.
Mm.
It was something that was expected of your family.
Mm.
And then the thing of when there's marriage happening, your family comes to help.
Yes.
Then the problem that happens is, and this is not the, these aren't the only issues that sort of triggered this, right?
Mm.
There are many other issues. I mean, also with women being expected to cook in the kitchen, you know, there comes a sense of unhealthy entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading not so long ago a scripture where Paul talks about, that when couples are fasting in marriage, they shouldn't, he says, do not deprive one another of sexual intimacy, except if you are going to do it for when you're fasting. So you can see how.
And if you both agree.
Yes, exactly. And it has to be an agreement between the two of you. Now, the thing about it is that one can take that and use it as a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
You see, I'm entitled to it. You can see it here. You understand what I mean? And that those are the attitudes that develop from all these things that were meant for good.
Mm.
All of them were meant for good. And then now people start to uphold self-love as a way, as a response of, because they know what that looks like.
Yes.
Now they're like, that didn't work. And now they come all the way to here, where it's the selfies, it's the me, myself, and I, coffee books,
I don't care about you.
Netflix and chill, Netflix nails and chill. You know, I understand what I mean? Yeah. So that's where we are right now, which I feel the problem was that we passed the middle ground and went all the way to the side of vanity, which is where we find ourselves today. And I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to upset a lot of people's wounds.
Drop the bomb.
Right? Selfies, I promise you guys, like selfies for me are such an indicator of, cause here's the thing about being self-absorbed, right? Or having a sense of vanity. The sad part is that when you are that person, you don't know. You see what I mean? Woo. You don't know. And there's many things you do. That's the reason, the thing about people who have the self-love gospel, right? Is that in their mind, you have reasoned it to be this. Actually, I remember making a comment on someone's Instagram post, right? They had posted an image of them. They have, it's a girl who has beautiful body and she knows it. I mentioned this because for the sake of context, just context.
That's it. Don't
right?
into that.
So she has a beautiful body and she was wearing a swimsuit, which is literally just her underwear and her bra, basically. Yeah. So she takes this very, I'll call it a provocative image.
We'll say it in, good English.
Yeah, in good English. She takes this very provocative English in front of a pool and there are kids next to her. So I comment and I'm like, how? You're doing this in front of the kids? And she responds and saying, it's self-love, my dear. Listen to the reasoning and the logic behind that.
Hey,
you understand what I mean? Like she's given herself an excuse that this is okay because it falls under the category
of
self-love.
Oh gosh.
Oh,
there's so much nonsense that we do under the guise of self-love.
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna eat a whole tub of ice cream. Okay. Technically speaking, I get you say that's self-care, but like, is it?
Right?
Is it really?
Right?
Like, are you not destroying your, you know you're lactose intolerant. Now you're out here sitting here, eating my ice cream because self-love. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I really brought this topic up not to, like, I really love bringing stories of my own. Or when you bring your own stories, personal stories of you overcoming things, because I think it lessens the blow. Like, we're not coming at you. We're coming from a place of we understand.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That was me this year. I remember in the beginning of the year, you know, you have your, new year, new me.
It's
going to be a year. This is my year. And Jesus said, okay, so I was like, okay, I'm just going to.
About this year.
We're going to start this year a little bit differently than you planned. And he really began to peel back a lot of layers and he started pruning me, like really, like he was just like, bro, you have issues and let me show.
Oh, wow.
Let me show you your issues. Right.
Wow.
And one of them was vanity. And, he challenged me. He was like, okay, so you have this problem here about vanity. Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to close all of your mirrors. So the mirrors in the bathroom, I put a towel over them. The vanity in my room, I put a towel over the thing for like a month or month and a half. And God was just really teaching me how much I actually stared at myself.
Oh.
It was so interesting because you were saying, and it was such a brilliant point, that the problem with vanity is you never know that you have the issue. You kind of just like, you think you're fine until really God says, okay, baby girl, let me show you something. You know, I need you to look in the mirror of the word. I believe the word says that, the word is like a mirror.
Oh yeah. And
for that month and a half when I wasn't staring at myself and I would walk into the bathroom to do nothing that has any involvement with my face, but will still look at the mirror even though it's covered, would remind me,
oh man, I do this so much. Oh snap.
I do this all the time. Yeah. Every time I pass the mirror, I check at myself.
And you say your internal things, your self-affirmations.
You know what I mean? Girl, you look good today. You look great.
Yes, you are beautiful. Yes, yes.
Ooh, child, they cannot mess with you. You know? And I realized that it became this unhealthy thing. And that's why I say the self-love movement has, it was really for the people for low self-esteem. But I feel like we've diagnosed people who don't have cancer with chemotherapy.
Exactly. Oof. Oof.
And it becomes such a problem because now we see the effects of that and the narcissism, the growing narcissism of our community, that we can take provocative photos while kids are watching you.
Ooh, imagine.
And we think that's self-care, that's self-love, not taking into consideration the people around us.
And that is
typically what vanity does. It's a niche of pride.
We
don't care about other people's opinions. We don't care about if it's affecting them or not, as long as I feel gratified. And that is such a big problem, right? So that's why I wanted to bring this conversation up, because I feel like even just with the selfies and everything, we're breeding narcissists.
We are growing them.
And then we're like, ah, you're so narcissistic. I wonder why.
You know what I mean? The community made me like this.
This is how I am. So, yeah. That's just something that I found really interesting. And God really had to humble me.
Yeah.
And there are other people who need that self-validation. They need to tell themselves that they are beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says, it's in Luke 14 verse 11, which is, I guess, my heart for this conversation, which says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled before others. Mm-hmm. And he who habitually humbles himself, keeps a realistic self-view, will be exalted." And I think this is the way God levels the playing field. Is he saying those who have a low self-esteem, I'm gonna need you to love yourself, because it is important for you to love yourself.
Okay, I see. Yeah,
I need you to love yourself because you need to love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself.
And if you have a low self-worth, that means the love of your neighbor will be of a low quality because you don't love yourself enough. And I need the people who love themselves too much.
Tone it down.
To tone it down. And it levels the playing field so that we can love people properly, because when you're full of pride, you exalt yourself. You don't love people well because you want all the love, but you don't give it back in the same amount.
Yeah.
And I feel like God levels the playing field. You know, God's remedy for vanity is different, because
true
he knows
story.
That people have different points of view, different issues that they struggle with.
Yes.
I think that's so beautiful that God doesn't give a blanket self-love statement that he slaps on to everyone, because he knows, if I give this to Kelita, baby girl is going to have the time of her life.
Exactly.
And she's going to destroy everyone.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand what you mean. Like, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of, this is a theory that I've had for very long. Not a theory per se, but an idea that I've had for a very long time. Like, the problem with these types of problems that we're like the one we're discussing today, the issue of vanity, the issue of self-love, the issue with these intangible issues, right, is the problem of the invisible measuring stick.
Yes.
Right? Because if you are navigating with Google Maps, which, I mean, many of us do today, when you're going to a particular location, you have the advantage of knowing how far it is, and you also have the advantage of knowing how long it'll take for you to get there. And it'll also tell you whether there is traffic along the way, so that you basically adjust your expectations accordingly.
Correct.
Now, the problem with an issue such as vanity, right, and having self-love, is that there is an invisible measuring stick.
Yes.
Right? There is nothing you can look at with your eyes and say, I've crossed the line.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Now I've fallen into self-love.
Yes.
That is unhealthy.
Yes.
Unhealthy levels. Or I've fallen into debasing or...
Okay, yeah, yes.
You understand? It was speaking ill of myself and not having enough confidence and not saying the things God says about me.
Self-deprecation.
You understand what I mean? Exactly. Like to a point where now you're now just lowering yourself for no good reason.
Yes.
So then the question becomes, what is the proper amount?
Mm.
What is that level? I don't believe we do have... I do believe that we do have a perfect measuring stick, but by perfect, I don't mean exact. Those are not the same things.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So by perfect, I don't necessarily mean exact, like you would have with a ruler or with whatever they use in engineering, those equipment. Mm. But I believe that it's perfect in the sense that it's acceptable to God.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? Yeah. Yes. It's the standard that God would use.
Yes.
So for example, we all are to look to Jesus.
Correct.
Right? We all are to read what the word says. And what does the word say about us? Who are we according to God's view of us?
Yeah.
So that's who you are supposed to aim to become. Whether it's a matter of, there's a place, I can't remember which book it is, that says treat others as though they were sovereign, as though they were royalty.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? But now if you treat others as though they were royalty, does that mean you always view yourself as being subservient, right?
Mm.
Those are very important questions to ask. And the reason I say this, guys, is because of an issue that we raised in a little bit. I raised it in the what's the title?
I can't even remember. Out of touch.
Out of touch episode. Yes, yes. The out of touch episode is that when you are in a position of service, right? They you will serve and you will fall into that position of, I'm treating you as though you were my king.
Mm.
You understand? Or you were sovereign.
Yes.
But now you forget that doesn't then make you a servant.
Mm.
It doesn't put you in the position of a person. You see, when Jesus says, I no longer call you servants,
yes,
you are now my friends.
Yes.
You understand? A servant doesn't know what his master is doing.
Yes.
You are still in that position. The beauty of it, guys, oh my goodness.
He is so like the excited.
Beauty, right? The beauty of it is in the fact that you acknowledge your divine sovereignty as a son of God.
Yes.
Right? You acknowledge it and yet you are still willing to bend and wash someone's feet.
Yes.
That's what made what Jesus did at the feast so amazing.
So good.
Knowing who he is.
So good.
You understand?
Yes.
So you have to balance knowing who you are with still being able to bow down, kneel, and serve others.
Correct.
And that's difficult balance.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because what God was ministering to me when I was in that time is he was saying that, you know, me saying that, you know, you have a problem with vanity is not to say that you can't say that you are beautiful. Because that's not...
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
But what he said was... Acknowledging you are beautiful is okay, but acknowledging your beauty without acknowledging the fact that there is someone who made me beautiful and not by my own means. Like I didn't come out the womb and make my DNA like, okay, this is what I want to do. You know what
like
I mean?
I
woke up like this.
You know what I mean? I did it all by myself.
All by myself. But he was trying to bring that balance that when I acknowledge, instead of just saying, Kalita, you are beautiful, rather say, thank you, God, for making me beautiful.
Oof.
And that brings the balance.
Oof.
Because it brings you from the point of, because the problem with vanity is you think that you've done this by yourself, which doesn't make any sense.
I know exactly what you mean.
But when you acknowledge that God made me beautiful, you're starting to, you don't take the responsibility or you don't take the credit for what is evident.
Yeah.
And I think that is the beautiful thing. You know, in that Luke parable and that verse I just gave earlier, it's actually part of a parable where Jesus was saying when you're invited to a feast, don't take the seat of honor.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And you get moved back because Ooh. There's someone more important than Ooh. You. Rather take the humble seat and be moved up.
Oh, snap.
That is what he was saying before. He said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled.
Yes.
And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, it's just being able to, it's that thing, that balance of knowing that I am precious in God's sight, but I'm not going to put myself in the place of honor, but I'd rather stay in a place of a humble servant.
Exactly.
And be acknowledged later rather than put myself more important than I am. And someone says, actually, babes, I don't know how to tell you this.
Yeah.
But the president is coming and he sits there. So I'm gonna need you to move.
Oof.
Guys.
And I think it ties in so well with the concept of knowing who you are,
yes.
while at the same time being able to, in the physical, lower yourself.
Yes.
While not forgetting
yes.
who you are. Because I mean, if let's say you know, because in the physical, this is how what it would look like. It is the equivalent of a minister going to an event where imagine a minister of education going to an event that you've hosted for the community to hear stuff about education.
Yes.
You would expect the minister to be seated either in front
yes.
or somewhere in the executive seats.
Yes.
Right? Or the exclusive seats.
Yes.
Imagine if the minister would walk in that place. They literally were driven in. They had a parade bringing them there.
Sure.
When they were driving on the highway, they were literally had cars moving, parting the seas. They were parting the seas coming to your event. So they know who they are.
Yes.
They cannot forget it.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But when they get to your event, they instead make the assumption that the seat that is reserved for them is the one at the very back.
Sure.
That's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of that.
That's so beautiful.
You understand what I mean?
That is so beautiful.
Right?
And it's so important that we have this understanding. Because, you know, that's why I say, I don't want you to say, you know, I'm not beautiful. Because that's a lie.
True story.
God, you are made in the image of God. You know? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together.
Yeah.
But acknowledge who made you there.